supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
It'll take some dogged determination to get daytime chores completed during these dog days of summer. Joining me to explain is Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. And Derek, I suppose it's in a roundabout way of saying what I'm loath to admit to myself.
That we're losing minutes of sunlight?
You said it.
Oh, yes, I did. Well, it's one of those unfortunate truths of how the cycle of the seasons go, is that here we are. Some of us may be feeling like we're just getting into the full swing of summer, but it's clearly becoming obvious that we're starting to lose minutes of daylight on our day. In fact, right about now, we're about 25 minutes off of where we were for sunset back at the summer solstice in June, and more than 30 minutes off sunrises. So that's a whole hour of daylight change from the solstice.
Well, I suppose glass half full, that means there are extended opportunities for viewing what's available in the night sky.
And the night sky still has plenty for us to see. Jupiter, the largest planet of our solar system, glows beautifully in the evening sky. Over on the western horizon, we can still see it just after sunset for about an hour and a half or two after sunset, followed, though, by Saturn. Saturn is around in the south, so to the left of where Jupiter is, and it's still available well into the night, so we can see it without much difficulty. Binoculars work great for both of those. But if you happen to be a morning person, this is a great time to catch Venus dominating the pre-dawn sky. 3:30 a.m. it comes up above the horizon, but you can hang until as late as 5 a.m. in bed before you get up to go take a look for Venus before sunlight takes over the morning sky.
Let's focus a little closer on the planets. Opportunity is still having at it on Mars.
Yes, indeed. This is one of the most amazing stories of successful technology that I can think of. Here we have a rover out on the planet Mars, going about its business of collecting scientific information, helping us to better understand how Mars has come to be, how Mars is. The intriguing part is that this is now some 13 years after it initially landed on Mars, when its original mission was slated for 9 months at the most, and now headed off on a new adventure where it's going to drop down into a crater to examine a gully system that may have been formed by water, but we're going to do our best to use this device to help us better understand the nature of that gully system that we're seeing along the side of the crater wall.
A decidedly time-limited opportunity is soon to run out on the planet Saturn.
Oh, indeed it is, yes. For quite a few years now, the orbiter Cassini has been bringing us absolutely fantastic views and information of the system of rings and the moons and everything else going on at Saturn. But just today, it begins the first of its last five orbits around the planet. So about once a week, the spacecraft is orbiting around the planet, going out to a very far distance, and then coming into a very close distance where, at most, in some passes, it will be only 1,000 miles above the cloud tops of Saturn. But then, in the middle of September, it will make its final pass around the planet and then head into the planet for its destruction.
That it will crash into a gas giant. Describe the nature of the collision.
Well, let's first get rid of the idea of an impact. What will happen is that as it falls into Saturn's gaseous atmosphere, it will begin to heat up, and it will also begin to fall apart or be broken apart by its passage through the ever-thickening atmosphere. The pressure, the atmospheric pressure, will begin to build up, and that will also contribute to the destruction of the spacecraft.
Meanwhile, depending on its success threading the galactic or even intergalactic needle, Voyager will last who knows how long.
Who knows how long? Yet another incredible success story about an interplanetary explorer. The Voyager satellites left Earth 40 years ago this year, and Voyagers 1 and 2 were the first spacecraft to really delve into the deep portions of our solar system with really, really good data-collecting equipment. That's both cameras and other scientific devices that will help to characterize both the environment in our deep solar system and give us unprecedented images of planets that we'd only seen through telescopes before. Well, those spacecraft are very, very, very far out near the edges of our solar system now and will continue traveling for thousands of years unless they run into something else.
Finally, we're 1 week out from a total solar eclipse traversing the United States. For those of us stuck in the Philadelphia region, entice us with your plans.
I'm actually going to St. Joseph, Missouri, which is almost right in the middle of the path of totality across the U.S., where for 2 minutes and 40 seconds I'll be able to stand in the shadow of the moon. My intent being there is to report back to the Delaware Valley. Through the Franklin Institute's Facebook page, I'll be streaming live on Facebook to bring people an account of what it seems to be like out there. I'll be at a location where I'm expecting there will be thousands of other people observing. I'll be working with a small group of astronomer friends. We'll be doing our best to give people all the information they need to help them enjoy the experience there. But you can still enjoy the experience here. Of course, the Franklin Institute will have activities and viewing opportunities over on the Parkway, and we invite you to join us over there if you like. This eclipse is going to do more for people to share the experience than any other astronomical event ever in the history of observing. And that's because so many of us have smartphones or computer devices. This will be the first time in history that so many people can be so well connected through a science event.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.